welcome to the Happy Hour Show with Olia on IDFM. We are very happy to have you on board. Mais oui, c'est la radio du bien-être. Bienvenue dans cette édition de Happy Hour. Et je suis très très contente parce que ce soir, j'ai une invitée dans le studio qui va me rejoindre. Elle s'appelle Alice. Et on va parler de toutes sortes de choses. C'est une jeune femme incroyable qui a voyagé dans plusieurs pays du monde. Elle est franco-américaine. Elle va parler un petit peu de ses expériences à l'étranger, mais aussi de sa double culture, et puis aussi de son métier, et puis son amour pour la musique. Donc tout ça, un super programme. Et justement, c'est elle qui a choisi la musique. Welcome to the Happy Hour Show, and I hope you're in a good mood because we have a great show tonight. It's with my guest, Alice, who is going to talk about lots of different things tonight. Well, one of them is travel and, of course, music. And thanks to her selection, playing the DJ tonight, she's put together this really great collection of music. And she'll tell us why she's chosen the music in just a moment. But I have to press on a button to get the song lined up, of course. But she will explain, as I said, she will explain why she's chosen the music. And maybe, just maybe, she might even have a little surprise about the reason why she loves her music so much at the moment, because I think she is looking at some interesting projects in her upcoming future. And so we'll be able to talk about maybe what's on the cards for her coming up. In any case, you're listening to IDFM. This is the Happy Hour Show, and we're going to get started in just a moment. I'm hanging in there for just a moment because I really want you to hear this particular music by a young Thai artist whose name is Jeff Satur, and it's called Dum Dum.
I've been trying to call you, but you broke my heart. I remember the day we broke up.
Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hour Show. It's so great to be here and to be on air and to listen to this very curious song, which I have to say it's a discovery for me. And it's all thanks to my guest, who I'd like to welcome to the studio now, Alice Boiteux. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about this song, Dum Dum, which is sung by a Thai artist. Why did you choose this song?
I heard it for the first time in a small Thai restaurant, and it was pouring rain outside. It was so bad that, and I didn't even have an umbrella. Like, it was my first time getting caught in Thai rain. And I mean, it's really very, very, like, strong rain there. I mean, we don't really have that kind of rain here very often. And that music was in the background in the restaurant. And so I thought it was really epic to have all this lightning, thunderstorm, and this music in the background. Yeah. I don't know, like, I really was like, oh, yeah, right. You know, I'm in this new country. I'm going to be able to, you know, experience new music. And so that came on, and I totally asked Google what it was immediately.
Yeah. Okay. So, and this is related to a professional experience you had. You went to Thailand for a whole year, was it? Or nearly a year?
No, it was like for 4 months and a half.
Okay.
So less than a year. Yeah.
And this is just recently. This was last year.
Right, exactly. Okay. Almost like in last year, this month, I was in Thailand. Yeah.
So it's still fresh in your mind. What was it like as an experience? It must have been really quite a contrast to living here in France.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, everything is different pretty much. I mean, I don't really know where to start.
Well, you were there for work. What kind of work? Because you did scientific studies, and if I understood correctly, you've done some geology and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the project that you were working on there.
Okay. Well, I was working on really like two or three different projects. So the thing was, I had a project for the French company because I was actually at a partner firm of a French company.
Okay.
And my French company, they wanted to have stronger ties with this Thai company. The idea of me coming there was to kind of create relationships and see if I could help on projects and start kind of a relationship, going, make it more fluid because, you know, my French company, they have a hard time with English. And so the idea was that I could,
you could facilitate.
I could facilitate.
Communication.
Exactly.
And okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So, yeah. So you did have a sort of double, triple role.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that was why the French company sent me there. Then I had a project with my school because, I mean, this was like part of an internship to get a diploma.
Okay.
And so for that, I had to like kind of do a research project. And so the idea was how can I, get a research project that's useful for my French company, but they're really operational. They don't really do much R&D. So, I kind of had to fix up a research project.
Oh,
yeah.
So you were thrown into the deep end, like directly into hands-on project.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And then the other thing was that the Thai company, they don't really do much engineering calculations per se, like they execute stuff that's been already calculated.
Okay.
But the French company, they really do engineering calculations. And so the idea was that if I came to this Thai company, maybe I could do some of the calculations and perhaps, try and see if we can do the calculations, is there an opening for the French company to come and do calculations and then maybe kind of merge with this other Thai company, to have like one, big structure. Like the idea was, see if I could do calculations or even, show people that we could do some of this calculations.
Okay. Yeah. So there was kind of an experimental side in that you were opening up maybe potential opportunities for this partnership, but... So it sounds very challenging.
Right.
On top of being in a country where I presume you don't speak Thai fluently or didn't before. Maybe you do now. After listening to the music, maybe. No. What was that like? I guess you used English all the time.
Then. Right. English all the time. But I mean, Thai people, they don't really speak a lot of English. Not all of them. Not everyone does. And so my mom said this when she came to visit, that my English became Thai English, in the sense that if you take out, you know, words that are kind of unnecessary, then you get this really kind of condensed English form. Like, you don't conjugate any verbs, you just kind of, you don't use any, you know, polite words. It's just very straight to the point. And my mom even said that I started to get this Thai accent, because if you did use a Thai accent in English, people would understand you better.
So you adapt the way you're speaking to the local way of speaking English, otherwise it's harder to communicate.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay, so you brought some of that back with you as a souvenir and got teased by your family.
Right.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. So and this international experience, I mean, I guess overall it was a positive experience, so you learnt from it. What was it, something that you would, I guess it's something you would do again, maybe not in the same place but somewhere else?
Yeah, it was a very positive experience. I think I learned a lot more about myself than I would have if I had stayed in France. I guess it's a shortcut to who you are. Like, it takes, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years, I feel like, to get to the point I am now, just because I kind of went to another country, and then it shows you all these aspects of yourself that maybe you don't need to keep because they're from the French culture, and you don't really need to have them in the Thai culture because no one is going to judge you on that. And yeah, if I would do it again, definitely, I would not want to do it in the same job that I did, though. I mean, like, I think in most Asian countries, like, the work hours are very, very long. In this Thai company, I worked 6 days a week.
Oh, right. Yes. Different working culture.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't really have holidays. Like, I think 6 days of holidays per year, including sick days. So.
Okay. And sick days are usually not considered a fun holiday.
No.
Okay, so interesting. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, very different.
Actually, that's something that they, like, when I understood this, I told them, well, how many, you know, holidays do you think you get, you know, in France? And, you know, I said, well, it's a lot more than here. And they were like 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, not even close, you know? And, like, that's not even counting, you know, like, regional holidays and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's the paid leave, then there's the flexi days, the public holidays. That all accumulates to make a very big number of days. And what about, like, I don't know, I mean, the food, because we often hear about Thai food being really totally delicious. I guess you enjoyed that kind of side of the culture, the cuisine. You probably got a chance to go out a little bit and have a look around. Did you play the tourist a little bit, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in the Thai culture, you don't really cook.
No, you go out.
You go out, exactly. Yeah. So I went out every single day, except when I had to work, like, on these school projects. But yeah, so I went out, and so I experienced a lot of different foods. I was quite daring. You know, they have, like, insects, and
yes.
So I totally went for that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was really amazing food. The curries, I mean, like, it's very fresh food, and most shops are very specialized. So, like, maybe one shop will cook, like, maybe 2 or 3 different dishes, and they will do them very, very well.
Yeah. And then you go to the next shop down the road to get something else that specializes, you know. Yeah, a different specialty. Nice. Yeah.
And, I mean, you can do that for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like, even breakfast, you know, you can get it outside.
Yes.
And for coffee.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they like eating out. It's part of their lifestyle. And so in my introduction, I said you were Franco-American. And so you were born here in France. But have you actually had a chance to live in the States, or you've just visited family and stuff like that over the years? Because I know, you know, you have a strong connection to the States, but have you actually had a chance to live there yourself yet?
No, not yet.
Is it something you might do?
I think I would like to, yeah. I mean, California appeals to me. That's where a majority of my family is from. And, you know, when I go there, I always feel on holiday. And so, like I go there, I feel so, like, happy. And so I think I would like to experience it in a different, way and see if it, is, good for my lifestyle. I don't really know how much I can adapt to the American lifestyle. It's very strange.
Because you're always there in a very certain type of context, which makes it hard to sort of measure if it's like a real life experience. Because what we're seeing from the outside looking at the States, it just seems like a very, very different place maybe to what it was some years ago. It seems in quite a lot of upheaval, political and economical and so on. So it seems like a place that's, I don't know, I mean, perhaps as an American, it would be completely different because you would have access to things that maybe outsiders would not have access to. And already, your language skills are huge help in that way. But yeah, so maybe, who knows, maybe that might be on the cards down the track.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, have to say, that it's less and less appealing with the political situation, of course. And, there's always the question of because also when you go to the States, you're also choosing in some sense, like a less durable lifestyle. I mean, if you live in Paris, there's a lot of public transport in the States. You're choosing no public transport almost.
Right.
And same with food and same with, pesticide regulations and, so it's...
And health cover.
Health cover.
Yeah.
And how much the government... is, helping you build a life that is, enjoyable and, you don't have paid, when you don't have a job, you don't have that.
Yes. So very different in terms of social benefits and kind of a safety net. There's, a lot of things that you have to provide yourself. You're responsible for everything. So it could be quite a burden in some cases. I was thinking we should listen to another song that you've chosen, I think this is an American group, but I might be wrong. Is Cadillac Sky an American group?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a perfect transition now because you've chosen a song called Born Lonesome. And I don't know this group, so I'm discovering it with the listeners who are out there discovering it. Tell us a little bit about this song that we're going to hear.
Well, this is like a bluegrass group. I think it's one of the best bluegrass, I would say. And I listened to this when I was very, very young, and we were like traveling the desert between, I think, LA and I think it was Chico, small town. And we heard this song for the first time at a music festival. My dad just, bought the CD and we were playing it in this car and we had no AC. It was very, very hot. and then this particular song is actually my dad's ringtone.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. So you hear little bits, extracts of it every time his phone rings.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But I mean, I think it's a fabulous group and it was a very short time period. Like they got separated very quickly, but like their music, I think, is absolutely fabulous. Mm. I mean,
okay. Is it the type of music that you listen to like regularly or is it something a little bit outside your musical tastes? Is it a bit of a surprise for you to...
No?
Okay. I mean,
I really like it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, because you're actually a musician yourself. You grew up learning an instrument. It was the bassoon, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. But you're also now learning the guitar.
Right.
Okay. And you sing.
Yes.
So over the years, you've been growing in your musical journey.
Yeah, building up different styles. I mean, bassoon is very Baroque.
Yes.
And, some very good classical pieces as well. But that was kind of when I started to really choose the music that I listened to, because for, a good period of your life, you listen to what your mom and dad listens to and stuff like that. And when I was growing up, I did so much music that I didn't really listen to music outside of what I was doing, really.
Yeah.
And so it was when I started my higher studies that I couldn't do as much music because I was, busy with studies. And so I could choose the music that I listened to. And then I realized, well, yeah, my dad and mom's taste is really good, but I really enjoy blues in general. Mm. And so then the guitar kind of came as a...
Okay.
Doing
okay.
More blues and, you know, Brazilian music. And yeah.
Okay. All right. Branching out. Well, let's listen to Cadillac Sky with Born Lonesome. Vous écoutez IDFM, c'est l'émission Happy Hour. Je suis dans le studio en direct avec mon invitée Alice, qui est musicienne, elle vient de le dire, guitare, la voix, mais aussi, what's the bassoon?
Basson.
De basson, with a trajectoire qui est en train d'évoluer tout doucement vers des nouveaux horizons. Mais là, c'est une chanson qu'elle a écoutée dans la voiture en Californie il y a quelques années de là. Et elle a beaucoup aimé cette chanson, donc on va partager ça avec vous et on continue notre interview tout de suite après. Et j'espère que vous passez une bonne soirée.
Baby, for us all. was born lonesome.
Lovely. Nice track there from Cadillac Sky, Born Lonesome. I was just saying to myself that it's a very cheerful song, even though it's, you know, the title maybe is, oh, I'm lonesome, I'm all alone. But actually, no, there's a group of musicians and they're getting into it and great swing and great energy there. And that's thanks to the choice, musical choice of my guest, Alice, who, is a dynamic young woman who did interesting scientific studies. And in here in France, but also has travelled overseas, used that experience overseas, and now is in a bit of a transition phase. Is that right? You're maybe going to study something else, or I don't know. What are you doing at the moment? You're doing something to do with computers, aren't you? Tell us. What's your transition period, and what are you doing at the moment?
Well, right now I'm in a short-term contract with a French company that where I did my internship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm building a software for them.
Okay.
Which is kind of strange because I always did computer science during my studies, but I never really took any very, very serious class, any very major classes on this. And for some reason, when my company said, they kind of told me of, you know, having this problem over like lunch break, and I heard about it, I was like, well, I think I could do that. It was very strange that I kind of had this feeling like I can do it, but I had no real proof that I could. Because, building a software to automate stuff is actually really massive. I don't know. I kind of felt like because they had really nothing, that any input that I could do would be, good for them.
Yeah.
And so kind of at the end of my internship, I said, well, like, I don't really want to do geology stuff, calculations for you. But I would be open to, this automation project. And the boss said, okay, go ahead. And so that's kind of what I've been doing since like end of October.
Okay. And looking ahead on the horizon, you are thinking you may be doing other studies or in this direction or another direction?
Yeah, I think I like computer science. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's become increasingly clear that I probably should get a degree in that. I mean, like, it's always a difficult question because I've got my diploma is general engineering at the end. So technically I could get something maybe on the job market right now. But I feel like, if I have a chance to get more specialized knowledge, maybe that's, something that I could take. Because right now, I'm all alone in this development project. And I see that, well, maybe if I had, more feedback, if I had, more experience, with theoretical knowledge, maybe I could do better in practicals. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's sometimes it's better to be in a team of some description so you can bounce ideas off one another or profit from the experience, someone else's experience that's complementary to your own. And it's true, if you're working on your own, it's maybe even more challenging, but interesting, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a very mathematical brain. like maths.
I do like maths. I like math. Okay. I think my relationship to it has been troubled.
Okay.
I did intense math studies for 2 years just after high school, and it was difficult. And I think I'm kind of ready to kind of do more math, kind of have my revenge on math, which is what it is. So do I have a math brain? Well, that's a difficult question because I would say maybe for like the average person who has not studied math, then definitely yes. But among my peers, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, it's interesting because maths, often I've been told that maths and music, there's a correlation between the type of the brain, how it's functioning, and, you know, reading music and rhythm, and because there's a lot of calculation going on in the timing and things like that. And I've been told that it's something like maths-minded people are often, you know, drawn to music because there's something that they just understand about how it all fits together. So I don't know if that's your case, mixing maths and music. It's not my case. I like music, but I'm not very good at maths. Maths doesn't speak to me. Numbers don't speak to me. But obviously, in a musical sense, they have to, don't they? Because you've got to read the timing, and you've, you know, got to count the notes and things like that. But it's a different form of maths for me, I guess, a different approach. But yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what is very much the same, though, is I think math is a skill that, I mean, you need to practice a lot to be able to have fun with it.
Right.
I think, you know, right. And that's kind of the case with an instrument. You know, at the beginning, you're here, you're doing, you know, 10 minutes and you feel like you're not getting anywhere and it's hard and, you know, there's all this rhythm, there's all these notes, there's all this stuff to read. And I think math is kind of like that. And so, you know, if you study enough of it and you do it in enough detail and you really apply yourself, then after you can maybe have more fun with it. And so I think during my studies, I kind of maybe didn't push enough math side, okay. I would say. Yeah.
Okay. And so this is your way of catching up a little bit on that. And with some hindsight and maturity, you're able to sort of say, oh, actually, I'm going to go about it this way, a bit differently this time, and enjoy it more as well.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. I mean, I kind of noticed during my coding job that if I had better math skills, I could build better programs. Yeah. I mean, you know, it seems
logical.
It's logical, but I mean, there's these math tools that I saw and I didn't really, you know, I saw them. I was like, okay, cool, you know, but when you have an actual application of it, it always, I think, makes it easier to be like, oh yeah, like this fancy math tool is actually going to be used for this, and your program is going to run so much faster, yeah. And you're not going to have all these loops going on. It's just going to be like this very
efficient,
elegant.
Yeah, nice. So it's not that it wouldn't work. It would work, but it would be maybe clumsier compared to if you had the next level of tools. You could take it that bit further and be tighter and more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think computer science is experimental. Like, you can get, I mean, it's very difficult to have programs that work in all cases. You know, a lot of the time it's just you test it on most cases or on all the cases you know, and it works. Mm. You know, if you don't have like a strong math behind it. And so it's kind of like making sure that the programs you build have less of this experimental, and then, you know, you get bugs, and, you know, if you don't have a solution to your bugs, then, you know, people might be stuck with the software if there's no one to correct it. And so it's kind of making sure by using the math that you're going to have fewer bugs because your program will be, you know, more complete in some sense.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And talking about learning things, I remember you telling me one time that you took Spanish at school, which I think all French kids kind of have to do, like a bit of English, a bit of Spanish, maybe a bit of German, depending on their choices. But Spanish is often the other foreign language that follows the kids through school. And then and you decided to take it right through to the baccalaureate. Is that right?
Right.
And you actually, you were actually quite good at the Spanish. You enjoyed it.
Right.
And you got quite good marks. I seem to remember you telling me it was really, like, you really enjoyed it. You found it quite easy. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I really went intensely in Spanish. In high school, like, I took this Bachibac section, so you have about 8 hours of Spanish
per
week, including, like, literature and history and geography. And yeah, I guess my idea was I wanted to travel. And so
yes.
Spanish is, you know, very useful for that. I mean, it's also a pretty language, I find. And, you know, California is close to Mexico. And in California, you speak a lot of Spanish.
That's true. That's
and
true.
So, yeah, it was kind of like, well, you know.
It could be useful for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the two languages, pretty much, you know, the American continent is, you know, a lot of these two languages, you know, I mean, except
it's very, so. Very common, in fact, to come across a Spanish speaker. So, and the reason I'm asking you is this, because I thought in your musical choices, you've chosen Bad Bunny, who right. sings in Spanish. Where is he from again? He's from
Puerto Rico,
which is where your brother is living at the moment. So right. interesting, very international family here. But you've chosen a song by Bad Bunny, which I just thought this is kind of a good moment because we're talking about learning and learning languages and kind of traveling. And like you've just mentioned, it could be a useful language spoken in a lot of different places. I thought we could listen to this song and you could, it's linked to your personal story in the way, you know, the linguistic way. Have you had a chance to use your Spanish a bit, like, you know, test it out in the, you know, during your travels or
in the real
meeting
world.
Other travelers?
Well, actually not that much.
Okay.
I mean, I've done, you know, some traveling when I was in high school, you know, there was this exchange period, you know, of like a week, you know,
yeah.
we went there and then a Spanish person came. So I did there. And then because my Spanish wasn't very good at the beginning, because I was mixing up English.
Oh.
Like I had an American accent speaking Spanish. And so people were like, she's French. What's happening with the Spanish? You know? And so I went to Catalonia for like, you know, short periods of 1 week. It's like this woman we met on a trip and she was like, yeah, come over. You know, you can speak English with my daughter and I'll speak, you know, Spanish with you.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, when it really got good. But then after that on travels, you know, it's been useful when I went to Italy. Like
okay.
Sardinia, that's where I went. And so it was useful to understand because Italian is close to Spanish.
But okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then, you know, recently when we went to visit my brother in Puerto Rico, I could use the Spanish, but not really that
okay.
much, which is funny, you know.
Yeah.
Like with international students, sometimes it happens,
yep.
you know. I mean, when I see someone who speaks Spanish, I'm like, oh, I have this, you know, opportunity. And so I will grab it and, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you still enjoy the little bits of contact that you have and including a musical contact. So tell us a little bit about this particular, the Bad Bunny song that you chose.
well, I mean, Bad Bunny is really the discovery of this year, I think. I mean, he's definitely I would say 2026 is not over, but I think it was the best music discovery for me this year.
Yeah.
So he's very, very famous, and I hadn't really gone through his work. And when we went to Puerto Rico, of course, all his music was in every bar, every cafe, all the time. And, you know, it has this very interesting, like, it's modern, but it has very traditional aspects of Puerto Rican music, you know, salsa,
mm-hmm.
Percussions, and, you know, I guess structure. And so I think it's like, wow, you know, this famous artist who's taken this genre, which is not, you know, that much listened to by a lot of people. I mean, you know, traditional Puerto Rican music. I mean, you know, I don't listen to this in on a daily basis, and has made it this huge thing that everyone listens to. And so
yeah.
now everyone can listen to traditional Puerto Rican music in this style. Like, it's really attractive, I think, to be able to do that.
Yes. And to be a singer, you know, it's, he's made such inroads into an English-dominated music market. It's quite incredible. So it's good on, you know, for him to sort of break down some of those barriers that sometimes, you know, language or songs that have a traditional vibe to them might get kind of cornered into a niche. You know, it's like just world music or something. But he's kind of like world, as in the world music.
Right.
Probably everyone's heard of him, and if they haven't, they will definitely soon. So I've lined up this song, which I don't know how to pronounce the name of the song.
Can you help? Baile inolvidable.
Okay, and what does that mean?
It means unforgettable dance.
Unforgettable dance. Okay, that makes sense because we see here in the film clip, he has a grandpa comes into a salsa class and signs up to learn how to do salsa with a whole bunch of people. So we'll listen to that. Vous écoutez IDFM, c'est l'émission Happy Hour. Avec Olia jusqu'à 19h, premier mercredi de chaque mois. Et si vous voulez plus d'informations, idfm98.fr. Et je vous laisse juste un instant avec Bad Bunny. Et à tout de suite pour le reste de l'interview.
miraba, pa' yo quito me ponía. Se siente feo no tenerte cerquita. La nueva mamá bien, pero no es tu boquita. Mi diablo, mi amor, mi loquita. Mi diablo, mi amor, mi loquita. Ay.
Esto suena cabrón.
You're listening to the Happy Hour Show on IDFM, the Feel Good Radio with myself, Olia, until 7 o'clock. We've got just over 10 minutes left together with my guest, Alice, who's been a great guest, talking about all sorts of things, travel, work experience overseas, and music, which she's brought some fabulous songs for us. We just heard a Bad Bunny tune there, and she's going to offer to play a track for us live in the studio. So this is exceptional. And I'm going to let her introduce the song.
Oh, thank you so much, Alia. Well, this is, I've always kind of been a composer, I think. And so this is one of the songs that I wrote. It doesn't have a title yet. It's still a work in progress.
Okay.
But I feel like, you know, it's always interesting to play live, and then you get feelings of what worked, what didn't work. And so that's kind of like in my mood. It's kind of like get things going, even if it's not perfect. I think done is better than perfect. That's kind of my motto.
Yes. Yeah. Rather than just dreaming about it, let's do it.
Exactly.
And then we'll see what happens after
exactly.
that. Okay.
And so this is kind of like I think it has blues vibes to it.
Okay.
Almost maybe Latin vibes. I mean,
it depends.
So I wrote the lyrics and the music. And yeah, so.
Well, take it away.
All right, let's go.
Destiny.
could be, you could be my drop of sunlight in the room. But now you're only, only, only gonna be in my dreams. How we talk the room and everyone wants there. How you guided me with a perfection of a no, no, and then I knew all of my affection. Dance, dance, dance.
Woohoo! Bravo! Alice Boiteux in the IDFM studio live with the song with no name for the moment. Thank you so much. Bravo!
Thank you.
Yeah, really, really upbeat and a theme of dance there again. We had just that connection with the Bad Bunny song, the dance, and here we have another dance.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's really great that you're writing your own music. You were singing in English.
Yeah.
But do you also change languages too? Have you been known to write something in Spanish or in French? I don't know. Or it just depends on the vibe.
I think mostly English.
Come closer.
Oh, sorry.
Come closer. Yeah.
But the first song I actually wrote this year was in Portuguese.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very, very strange.
Okay.
But, yeah.
But linked to your interest in Brazilian music.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think also the Brazilian harmonies, you know, they're very
yes.
close to jazz. And, you know, I think like pop songs, you know, I like them. But I think we can get like richer, you know, feelings. I mean, you know, here I did put a lot of, you know, seventh chord and that sound, you know, a bit bluesy, jazzy. Yeah, and so the first song I wrote was, yeah, in Portuguese.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Ah. So in looking down the track, I mean, you're taking some guitar lessons, singing lessons and so on, and, like, have you got a musical project? Is there something you would like to do, to play in a group or perform or something you want to do with the music, or is it just for your personal joy or both?
Actually, this song I'm going to record soon.
Great.
Yeah, try to get it recorded and, you know, really finish one song or two, you know, and yeah, maybe, you know, make an album and build something. Yeah, that would be what I would like to do. I think build an album and, you know, build my personal style. Because it seems that whatever I do, I always end up making music. Like, I've got tens of thousands of recording audios on my phone, and, you know, I look at all this and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna spend time doing it anyways, so well, Miles, you know, get it done, so that when people ask me like, what do you do, and I'm like, well, you know, if you want to know, you can listen to this track list, which is basically a summary of everything that I've done.
So you're not just daydreaming the days away, you've actually got some proof on the phone, you've been working on something, but you want to now make it concrete, make it really, you know, exist. If you finish a song, you can say, this song exists, I recorded it, and yeah.
Yeah,
and it's done.
It's done. And
now I can write another one.
Yeah.
And then put them together and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I think it's also kind of when you record a song, you have to, you know, deal with the mic and you deal with the arrangement of the music, and that's a part that I haven't really done. I haven't really sang in microphones much. I don't really know how, like, this sounded, because, you know, I haven't done it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely not while playing the guitar. Like, I've sang in microphones.
So this is a first for you, being interviewed on the radio and also playing a guitar, one of your own songs, on the radio,
with
live.
The microphone.
With the microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Yeah. We're ticking a lot of first boxes here.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
And after this, you're going to go off and have your music lesson, and you'll be able to tell this story as an anecdote.
Yeah.
And listen back to it and see how you felt about it afterwards. But
yeah.
Thank you for sharing this this song, and I hope we will get a name for it soon and
yeah.
Find it recorded.
Well, yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, I'll definitely send it over.
Then we can play it here on IDFM. So we're coming up very gradually to the end of our show. Now, we could listen to another track that you've as our send-off song that you chose, which is linked to this connection with Brazilian music that you've developed. So that could be maybe our send-off song. And I don't know, is going to Brazil on your cards?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It must be on your travel cards. Because you know, maybe Carnival or something, I don't know. And
yeah, I mean, I think Brazil is so big.
So much to do, so much to see. Yeah.
And
diversity and
We had like a good sample of international Brazilian students in my school.
Oh, yeah.
And they were from all over Brazil. And, you know, I mean, and they brought all different kinds of Brazilian culture with them. And so, yeah, I really want to go see it for myself. Yeah, I mean, you know, the music, the food, the beaches, the forest, you know,
yeah,
all of it.
The all heat. Of it. The yeah. heat, yes, the climate and everything. So maybe this can be our send-off, our way of sending off. So thank you so much, Alice, for coming into the studio for the Happy Hour show. It's been great to have you here. Hopefully next time we see you, you'll have your album and we'll hear about your concert. We'll be launching that. In any case, good luck with the studies and the coding and the computer science. And we'll catch you again soon on IDFM. Merci beaucoup à Alice d'avoir accepté d'être mon invitée et de partager sa musique en direct. C'est génial. Donc, ça se termine là maintenant notre interview ensemble. Mais on va écouter une dernière chanson pour se dire au revoir. C'est une chanson de musique brésilienne. Il s'appelle Javan. Qui fait une chanson qui s'appelle Samurai, and we're going to listen to that to take us out of the Happy Hour show. Merci beaucoup pour votre écoute et je vous souhaite une très belle soirée sur IDFM et on va se retrouver le premier mercredi de chaque mois comme d'habitude, donc le mois prochain, le mois de juin. Ciao et bonne soirée et au revoir Alice.
Merci beaucoup.
Quanto querer cabe meu coração. Sofrer faz que me mata, e se não mata, fere. To be you, vai sem me dizer na casa da paixão. To be you. Uma praga e me afaga a pele.